Welcome to the Christ-Centered Podcast. My name is Melody Ayakunu, Mel for short. I'll be your host for today. Each week, we'd have conversations on spiritual growth, would share insights and tips for practical Christian living. I want to remind you that you are not alone, so sit back and enjoy the ride. Welcome, everyone, to the Christ-Centered Podcast. If you're new here, we say welcome. We greet you especially. If you're with us in the previous episode, I say welcome. Thank you for sticking around. Okay. Today is a good day. It's the new month. It's a beautiful day to talk about something that is so important to us as believers. And I've got a guest, very special guest on the show today. His name is Ore. Hi, Ore.
Hi, Mel. Nice to be here.
Right. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. So the topic for the episode today is how to freely preach the gospel, sharing your faith in the secular world. And then you know that our purpose as believers is to know God and to make Him known, right? And then... Yeah. Even as one of our biggest missions on TC Podcast, we are to go into the world, preach the gospel to all creation, but to go into the world to make disciples of all nations. So it's very important to us as believers. And I remember clearly well when I get to preach in cabs. I get to like talk to people about Jesus in public public buses and stuff. So I remember when I first started, it was a tug of war. Like it was a big deal. See, imagine nursing a plan for like months because you're scared, nervous. You're just scared for no reason. Like, why are you scared? You're scared that's always going to eat you up or what? So I had to pray. Like it was serious. There were times when the Holy Spirit would tell me, oh yeah, speak. I would just miss the moment. And then after I get out from that cab, like it's always like biting myself, right? So I stumbled on a video by a Christian content creator where she was talking about how to freely preach the gospel. So I thought it best that it would be really nice to actually talk about it because I couldn't be the only one that went through all of that. I mean, went through the old fear, you know, finding difficult to preach the gospel freely, you know, at a very early stage. So that's why I've brought you on the platform today so we can talk about it. So what do you think?
Yeah, it's a good one because I would just like to share my own experience. So at first, when I started preaching the gospel, it was quite very hard. And one of the reasons it was quite hard for me was because then it's always started with a word of knowledge. Right. Probably I'll be in a public place and there'll just be a nudging that there's somebody there that had some particular issues. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will directly point me towards the person. And I remember for a long time I struggled with going to meet people because that was like the Holy Spirit giving me an avenue to start a conversation.
Right.
And eventually when I started to take action, I started just, let me just obey. At least it's more powerful, the Holy Spirit, other than one about to be saved person. So I used to approach them, and most of the time, these people just practically break down in tears and start to tell me things beyond what I even saw towards them. So that's how it started for me, and it's been interesting since then. And since then, right? Oh my God, the boldness has been. This particular day, they paired us up one time in one of my fellowships in school, and there was this boy that was me. The boy was just staring at me. The way I was talking, the way I was not shy, the guy was like, "Hey, bro, I'm envious." Because basically, it's not something that you just build over in a short while. It's you build over years. Yeah. Like once you understand who you are in Christ, once you understand that, you don't put any confidence in your flesh, man. You just, your confidence is in God. You just, and at that point, see, fear is an illusion that you just need to do away with.
Right, don't exist, right. Beautiful. Okay, so let's just imagine someone is there, you know, listening to us right now, that, you know, it's been a thing. And I'm glad churches have been really laying emphasis on it, right? Churches have been laying emphasis that everyone preach the gospel, you know, that's your purpose. It's God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of Christ, and it is us he would use, right? So for someone who has, it has been a burden all along, like, what are the practical steps to freely, and even aside the fear aspect, this is a secular world, right? Things are not really making sense. Even spiritual things are getting diluted, right? So there's the fear, and then there's the pressures of the environment, you know. What are the practical steps to freely preach the gospel, knowing that we are in a secular world?
Yeah. Okay, so basically, one of the first things I'll say before I give out the point, that the Bible also says that he that winneth a soul is wise. There is wisdom in winning souls.
Right.
And yeah, one practical way that I always tell people is to always, like, be a light. Like, majorly, it's not about what you say to them, it's the unsaid words.
Right.
In the spiritual realm that you by your daily activities you say every time, because we are beings of light, and the light that we illuminate is what people, as it becomes so evident, it becomes so potent that people in the physical realm begin to see that light, and that light has to reflect every area of your life. For example, now if you're in a workplace, you are being the light. They all know. Fine. Let's talk about you being moralistic. Okay, that's it. But goes beyond being moralistic. Like, are you excellent in the way you do your things? Mm. Are you generating results? Are you working in supernatural creativity? These are the things that men see and they marvel at. Let's take Daniel for example. Now, Daniel was top notch in his class. Daniel was in his field, or in his field was so excellent that even the king, after the whole brouhaha, had to agree that definitely that God was with him. So these are proofs that we need to just be that light. The Bible says you cannot light a candle and put under a bushel.
Not possible.
Yeah. So we need to be that light. And once you become that light, certain things that you begin to do, certain actions that you begin to take, they begin to see it. When are you the one that talks down about your boss in front of your colleagues? That's one of it. Are you the insubordinate colleague? Are you the activist? Fine, we're not saying you should not like speak out when there are issues, but how do you present your case in the workplace? Are you the one that is very, very aggressively presenting your case? These are the things that we will see. And it, in the long run, back, is going to help the way you approach them. For example, now you've not been someone that has been portraying the light, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit nudges you. And that's one thing about the Holy Spirit. Very interesting. Is that you've been very silly at the workplace. There will be a particular nudge in a particular day that will be so intense upon your spirit. Probably you went for a reboot camp, or you went for a conference that just blew you up, and you get to the office that day and the Holy Spirit keeps nudging you about the particular person you're supposed to pray to. At that point, you might be stuck because you've not been living the light.
You've been a bad person. You've been a bad boy.
Exactly. So now it takes extra grace for you to be able to say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to do this no matter what they think about me. That's where true confidence in God comes in. So these are the issues. Approach the army always something. When you get to a new environment, you first of all strike like a serpent. Let them know what you stand for. Let them know. Don't give yourself room. Expose yourself immediately that you're a Christian.
Right.
Don't give yourself room to hide or for them not to know who you are.
So you can be accountable.
Yes, it happened to me one time. I went somewhere for a program, not like a church program, but like a career program kind of thing.
Okay. And
when I go there, I was like, I'm not going to allow anybody know that I preach the gospel here. I just want to do my thing here.
And move.
I had 1 year. Can you believe that? It's not like things were that bad for me, but by the time I was done with that 1 year, I knew that I did not fulfill anything.
Wow.
Fine, what I meant to get was important. I got it, but there was no purpose.
Mm.
And it's a journey whereby you can only go there once in your lifetime.
Right.
So you cannot go back there again. And since then, ever since then, I told myself, nah, anywhere I find myself, it's no more hiding. Let them know I'm a church boy. Let them know I love Jesus.
Unashamed. And yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So even if things will now start to go down, you'll be cautious of the fact that these guys know I'm for God. And right. It's going to be easy for you at that point. So you need to just strike first, like it's happened. Let them know who you are and who you are. And majorly, things start to unfold for me. So I won't really be giving points based on this experience of mine, because I really believe these experiences are very important. Because eventually what people don't understand is that the testimony of Jesus is eventually the spirit of prophecy. It's fine, we all pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it starts from preaching the gospel. I remember someone telling me one time that you have the passion for souls and you want word of knowledge. Nah, it doesn't work that way.
It
doesn't work that way.
Those are the equipment for ministry, actually.
Exactly.
If you're not preaching, you cannot be equipped. Yes, God equips for ministry. Right.
Exactly. So you need passion for souls is one important thing. Once you know that this person is not really... one of the things that brought me up about soul winning was because I just naturally... I had this intense love for people. No matter how hard... situation is, I might probably be offended at what the person is doing at that particular time, but it doesn't go overnight. So that particular passion was what fueled my enthusiasm. Like, nah, this person needs to be saved. And I had mentors then that were always giving us tasks, and they would look at the most difficult person at times was in secondary school. They look at the most difficult person in this school and they were like, nah, that guy is for you. Go convert him. And I was in a particular guy's 2 years. 2 years. And the guy was just wearing me out. You know, so it's not about how much souls you can win at the same time also. It's about people with people around your circle. Are you inviting them to Christ? Are you inviting them to your church? Are you letting them know that the life you are living is not yours? When results come in front of people, I say thank you, Jesus.
Right.
So they would know that this guy, he knows where his source is, and these are the things that they see and they want to. For example, now a colleague of mine back then said she went to Dubai. She stayed there for like a year, and one of the things that these Arabs, they see is that they like results. Now, in that particular terrain, you cannot be a Christian and not produce the right results. But if you listen to
you, right.
That's how it works. So, be the light, basically. That's the major, like, in fact, that's the base. Every other thing is built upon it.
So, first, it starts with you. So, it gets to a certain point where you build excellence that it shows. And then you become a credible, you build credibility. Like, even let's just give a scenario of your workplace. I mean, you've been amazing, morally conscious, you know, you're not found in the wrongdoings, right? So even when is that point where maybe a colleague falls sick and everybody knows you to be a child of God, right? Because it shows by your fruit, they shall know you. So it gets a point where someone falls sick and then who's going to pray, or you get the nudge to pray for the person? No one will doubt you. No one will look at you with like with this hypocritical, like this bombastic side eye. What's he trying to do, right? So, and even when you get to a point where you want to preach the gospel, or you get nudged to preach the gospel to someone, you know, they'll want to hear what you have to say because you've been an example, right? So they will even ask because of the light that you shine. You know, it just finds expression in whatever you're saying and into their hearts. And another thing you've mentioned is passion for souls, right? Like you and the example you made, like it's not about the number of people that you get to win, but it's about your intentionality, even if it's one person, right? So now I want to ask a question, because even in my journey, right, it got to a point that, you know, I knew that you have to like be passionate about the things of God, but it doesn't just jump on you, not even like in the presence of everything that's going on right now. I mean, you are walking, you can't, it's hard at some point to even be edified, because you're walking down, this is what you're hearing, you get to your office, you're not seeing anything that can just, you know, the atmosphere is just always some type of way. So how do you grow to that point? What are the steps to make, you know, steps you have to be consistent in to build passion for souls?
Okay, so I'll start with one. Since we're trying to like talk about people in the secular world, believers,
right?
One of the things we need to do as believers is to learn to shut out. You know, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." The whole hullabaloo and the whole badabaloo that is going on in the country and everywhere around you is just a storm. In the midst of that storm, we need to understand that we need to be still to even hear God's voice. One of the ways of doing that is, I always advise people, if you know you're someone that is easily distracted by news, just stay out of it. When you're on the streets, you can probably have, obviously faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You can have either Pastor Apostle Aaron's message, Apostle Aaron's messages. You can just see, just keep hearing these things. These are materials that once you feed upon, you see, back then I was always known for airpods. Before airpods came, like, I'm always on airpods. My mom complained, this. See, mama, I know what I'm protecting my heart from, and it's very important to me. From one message to another, I don't want to lose God, because the time that little window period, you are, for example, now they bring someone to you that is having some kind of ailment as a believer, and everybody knows that, okay, fine, this guy is Christian and he's believing the light, and it's time for you to pray. I start asking questions like, so when did this condition start? Guys, it's not your business. You're not the healer.
These are
informations that you will hear, and if you are not careful, your faith will dwindle. So you don't need those informations.
right.
You don't need. What you just need to do is look towards the healer and tell him to come and do his thing. That's how it works. So in this world of noise and so many voices, you just have to just let shut out
distractions.
Yes, be still.
Yeah.
Create an atmosphere around you. So if you are living in Lagos, number one, you should know that before you get to work, from the house to work, you should be praying in tongues. Don't be carried away. It's the truth. I don't know, the first day I was arguing with an elderly man, and he said, if you start working, I said, nah. I told him, we literally argue that they're not like, nah, you not pray. I said, sir, you will pray. What happens when you're driving from your house to work? We're not saying you get to the office and start revival. That's not what we're saying.
Right.
That's where we are mature as Christians, under your breath. When COVID came, oh Lord, I'm sure Christians enjoyed COVID, because everywhere you will be praying. Mm-hmm. We did not smack on your face at work. You don't have to raise your voice. That's why we are Christians. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to be dramatic.
Right.
The face of drama is coming where you will pray in tongues, you kabash, and you will know you did a spiritual dimension. But you're in the workplace. Be honorable. Honor your bosses. Pray underneath your breath. Don't leave any window period. Exactly. Don't leave any window period open, and that is going to sustain your hunger for souls. It's that atmosphere that helps you to push out the light that is coming from your soul, from your spirit, man. Because it's still the same. You know, we are beings of light. It's that energy of the spirit that releases the vibe that people start to sense. Oh, and they come around you, they just find this peace, and before you know it, they have opened up to you. That's your avenue to just step in. and introduce God to them. I want to introduce God to them, drag them to church. Don't ever make the mistake of allowing them to stay on their own.
Right, right.
Drag them to church. Very important.
Right, right. Thank you so much. Okay, so lastly, I want you to like provide a word of encouragement to someone out there. I mean, if because aside the fact that yes, it's very important. You have to spend time in place of prayer a lot. If you want to step out, you have to. And just like you rightly said, you know, when you want to walk in spiritual gifts, and in fact, there's some points where you get to talk to people. When you step out, you begin to function some levels of spiritual gifts that no one will resist you. I mean, you just went to meet someone and told them everything. You prayed for them and or something, and then you find a window to tell them about Christ, right? Yes, that's very, very important. At the same time, too, you know, the fear part, you know, it's personal. You have to work on it, right? And then it's I don't know. Now I feel really comfortable talking to people because even in my experiences, I had to talk to myself that guy, if you don't do it, you will never do it. Like if you don't step out, you will never know what it feels like, right? And then it got to a point where the first time I was shaking. See, you know when you are shaking and you can feel your blood boil, you can feel your blood getting frozen, right?
I can read it.
So now at this point, I'm comfortable because even in my experiences, I've gotten to make new friends. These people don't bite really. Like I've spoken to some people that the kind of smile that they threw back at me was so encouraging, motivating. And even opened that floor for me to like speak comfortably. And I remember many times that people have been paid for my cab because of that. To show that they're actually good people out there, right? No one will bite you if you actually meet them. And also, my pastor always said, used to give a very profound example that he met with one staunch Muslim, and that man, he preached to one staunch Muslim, and the man said no one has ever preached to him before. So literally, you don't know what you're doing if you stay quiet. You don't know what you're doing if you don't do it, right? You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing to God. You're hurting God. If you choose not to, like, preach to God, if you choose not to do His will, you claim that you love God and you're in His will, but you're not even doing what He wants the most. God is about the business of souls, right? That's what matters to me. Your salvation matters to God the most, right? So for someone to say no one has ever, like, do you know how many evangelists, how many people that you see out there sharing tracts?
We're not beating our work well.
Right, what did you say?
It means we've not been doing our work well.
Right, for someone to say no one, that means many times people just pass by them, or you feel like, oh, this person, his face is not smiling.
They feel they are difficult. Yeah, they are difficult to approach.
Right. So please, can you give like an encouragement to someone who's about stepping out there?
Okay. So I'll be talking towards three categories, because as I was talking, the Spirit lets me understand there are some persons that they need encouragement. They need for those that are about to step out, I'll just practically say, just do it. God is with you. You see, you don't know. I went for a meeting one day and someone was telling me, said, is it until you explode with power before you understand that you need to start to launch out? And I was like, what do you mean? And the guy was like, so you pray, you generate too much energy, and where is that going to?
Right.
And it dawned on me that, oh my God, I've just been building my spiritual bank. I've not been dispensing. So just step out. God is with you. You have the power of God inside of you. Once you open your mouth to speak, things begin to happen.
That's
how it's supposed to be, and that's how it's going to be. Then the next category is for people that have been doing it, and all I can say is just continue, don't stop. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a lifetime journey. We are not going to stop. We are not going to be too slow, and we're going to stay focused on the Father's work.
Right.
Father proud. Then the third set is the people that you've not really been light in your workplace. Yeah, you've been the aggressive one, speaking to your boss where you like. You've been a typical Gen Z employee. So, exactly. So please, what God is trying to tell you, it's not too late. There's there's a kind of resilience that God is trying to build through you if you're ready to bounce back. He's going to give you more than enough boldness that you can imagine. Fine, you've not been living the light, but now just start, launch out, and those same people that know you to be a troublesome person will testify to the fact that God is at work in you.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ari. I had a very great time. I had a very beautiful time. It was insightful. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this with me. I mean, when you did that, my steam not so comfortable. Thank you so much. Everyone, sorry? Yeah, go on.
I'm so sorry for the inconvenience.
Thank you. So everyone, we've come to the end of this episode. Thank you so much. I know that you've been blessed just as I have been blessed. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify to get notified when we release a new episode. And also follow us on Instagram at the Christ Centered Podcast. The centered is C-E-N-T-E-R-E-D. So when you just type that into your Instagram search bar, it will pop up. The Christ Centered Podcast. Share this episode if it blesses you. Engage on our social media. Send DMs, comments, likes, and everything. If you have questions for Ore, I'll be sure to just put it in the comment section, or I'll also tag his Instagram handle so you can always send him a message. Or send me a DM if you don't want to do it directly, and we'll be sure to talk about everything in the next episode. If you also have to bring Aura back here, my guy is there for me, so don't worry, I'll always tell him about it. Thank you so much. See you guys in the next episode. Bye. Adios.